Grace and peace to you from our risen and ascended Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was reading this weekend, my attention was captured by a piece in the latest New Yorker magazine by Viet Thanh Nguyen. It was a remembrance of his late mother, who twice in her life was forced to flee her home as a refugee. Nguyen writes, "My mother was comforted right to the very last moment by her conviction that another world awaited her. For some people, this kingdom has its own version of walls, borders, and passports, an exclusivity that resembles our worlds in the way that God resembles us. But if this hereafter exists, for me it can only be a country with no guards, gates, or limits, no God except a God we cannot imagine. For those who need boundaries, an eternity in which nothing separates us from others must be terrifying." In his writing, Nguyen casts a different vision of the hereafter, of heaven, we might say, than the one that we so often hear about, one that seeks to exclude some and leave some out if they don't believe the right things or live in the right way. This new heaven that he envisions, one with no boundaries, can be disconcerting or even terrifying for people of the world who see the world in that way. And I might say that the same might have been true for the Pentecost day in our first reading from Acts, not only for those outside the gathered believers, but for the insiders as well. For as preacher William Willimon says, "Here the Spirit enters a conventional gathering of the faithful in a highly unprecedented and unconventional way." It is the Jewish Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, named so because it occurred 50 days, or a week of weeks, as they said, after the Passover. It was a pilgrimage festival, and devout Jews from all over the known world have gathered for it in Jerusalem. Jesus' followers, who of course also still understand themselves to be faithful Jews, are there as well. And they're gathered in a room, praying and waiting for the Spirit that Jesus had promised them, the Spirit that Jesus said would help them be witnesses first in Jerusalem and then beyond. We can try to imagine what this scene must have been like for them as they are quietly talking and praying to suddenly hear this building sound of a rushing wind. We might imagine it growing louder and louder until it is deafening. And so with heightened anxiety and attention, the appearance of tongues of fire in the room would have been even more disconcerting, and maybe even downright frightening when they began to alight on each individual, followed by the chaos and confusion as everyone began to speak different languages all at once. The focus of this development, as Peter's following words describe, is the gift of proclamation. God is empowering those disciples by the Spirit to serve as witnesses to all God has done through Jesus. But the beauty of this event we soon see goes well beyond proclamation, as the message of the gospel now spreads beyond Jesus' immediate community to Jews from all over the world who would not yet have known the story, as they are able to understand the disciples speaking in their own languages. If our imaginations haven't yet been able to capture just how unsettling this whole series of events was, Acts now tries to put it in words. The crowd is bewildered, amazed, astonished, once again amazed, perplexed, and then derisive as some accuse the disciples and the scene of being little more than drunken nonsense. Peter, who has thus far not had a great track record of being solid for Jesus when the moment gets tough, seeks to explain, not only refuting this claim of drunkenness, but interpreting the event in terms of the prophet Joel from the Hebrew Scriptures. It seems in this moment that Peter has been transformed by the gift of the Spirit as he deftly and creatively interprets the old Scripture in light of the present moment as the fulfillment of God's inclusive vision for God's people. Peter identifies in this scene the gift of proclamation as the gift of prophesying, and I think it's important here to take a minute to revisit what prophecy often means in its biblical context. Modern usage, of course, leads us to think of prophecy as prediction of the future, telling what is going to happen. But in biblical context, it more often means truth-telling, or identifying and naming the place where God is at work in the world and among us, or identifying and naming the places where God will be at work or could be at work, naming the places where God still continues to intervene and initiate new things. New Testament professor Matthew Skinner of Luther Seminary writes, "Prophecy uses images and themes of the past to speak to the present time and new circumstances and dynamics in which the world finds itself, in which we find ourselves. Prior examples of God's priorities and activities speak to the now, to envision a future when God's reign of love and salvation come to fullness and fruition." So Peter's call in interpretation here is prophecy. He is prophesying. He is making meaning, making sense of the crowd's experience in that moment. And the idea here is that the Spirit will continue to empower God's people to do that as time goes on. And so I think in many ways this is the essence of our call today when we speak of our baptismal promise to proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus. It is not about quoting scripture at people. It is not about memorizing the Bible. It is not about saying the right things. But it's about sharing and interpreting our own experience of God in our lives, helping the world around us interpret the present time so that we can live in openness and hope instead of fear, so that we can break down walls instead of build them, so that we can build longer tables and invite others to come instead of refusing them because the seats are all full. It's a matter of us sharing a vision of what God promises can be among us when we learn to live into the promises of Jesus Christ and into this gift of the Spirit, learning to be flexible and even to embrace those times when the Spirit takes us in scary directions, when the Spirit leads to chaos instead of order, when the Spirit takes us places we never could have imagined. For as we see throughout the book of Acts, we've heard it throughout the Easter season, the Spirit doesn't like to keep God's people or us comfortable. We're not to be locked away privately in our own room together doing church or doing worship or whatever we call it with people we already know and love. The Spirit leads, the Spirit sends, the Spirit sometimes pushes us kicking and screaming into the world amid some people who are honestly searching and seeking and questioning, and among others who think that everything we believe and do is naive dreaming or utter nonsense or even destructive delusion. As we see in today's reading and later in Acts, though, this context really becomes the place where the Spirit meets us and the world. This place, this context becomes the place where we have the opportunity to share this different vision of what can be, a vision that transcends the problems and the systems of our world that keep people in bondage and lead people to live in fear and mistrust and despair. And we're promised in Scripture that by the power of this Holy Spirit, which we have been given in baptism, we don't have to come up with. As our gospel says, we are grounded in God's word, and the Spirit will continue to teach us and remind us of all those things that God has given us through Jesus. The Spirit will continue to lead us into the good news of the gospel in Christ. And with that Spirit, God has already given us all that we need to continue helping us speak and serve as witnesses to God's boundless love, not only for us, not only for this community, but for this love for all the world and all its people. And so in this exciting time in the life of our church in the ELCA, on this Pride weekend when we intentionally declare God's love for all our LGBTQIA plus siblings here and around the world, we are invited to join our voices with Peter and the first apostles and Joel, the faithful witnesses of the saints who have gone before us, in lifting up a new vision of God's reign as God continues to unfold it among us. In these last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons living in fear of violence at school, and your daughter living in a world fraught with threat and violence because of her gender shall prophesy. And your young homeless LGBTQ youth shall see visions, and your old women who can't afford health care shall dream dreams. Your non-binary neighbors who are looking a place for a place to be represented in their church will dream dreams, and your fulfilled single person will see visions. Even upon those in bondage, both men and women, African Americans in prison, migrant Honduran parents and children in detention, in those days I will pour out my spirit, God says, and they shall prophesy. And in that day, in that moment, at that time, we are promised that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.